Good morning, everybody. There's a high buzz happening around the building this morning. So welcome to you all. Welcome to anyone who is visiting with us this morning. Welcome to those of you who are online. This, of course, is Advent Sunday. I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. But for now, Sharon is going to lead us in the first of our Advent liturgies. There will be a response for you to read on the screen at the appropriate moment. Thank you, Sharon.
Good morning, everybody. The season of Advent begins 4 Sundays before Christmas and is a time of preparation for Christmas. The Advent wreath is a sign that Christmas is near. Each week we will light a candle as we hope and as we remember. Today we light the first candle of hope. The Old Testament tells us how God's people waited and hoped for many years for the birth of Christ. Sometimes waiting is hard because we are impatient, but Jesus is worth waiting for. And in and through Jesus, all our hope and waiting is worthwhile.
Lord God, you have come to us in Jesus Christ.
Help us to be mindful of your presence in us and in all humanity as we wait the celebration of your coming. May we be filled with hope that your presence brings. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Marilyn. It's a good thing that it's a cafe church Sunday, because there's going to be a bit of movement going on around the place of rearranging furniture at certain times and certain places and so on. Did you note in what Sharon read for us, it's a sign that Christmas is near. However, Advent is a season observed in most Christian denominations as a time of waiting and preparation for both the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas and the return of Christ at the second coming. At last week's market, I purchased one of Ted Van Dyke's carvings. I did see Ted here this morning. You hear Ted somewhere? There he is. One of Ted's carvings. I love what he does. I couldn't do it if I tried. I'd break the blade and I'd break lots of bits of wood. But that's it sitting on that pedestal there, a carving of the Nativity. And I would describe it as small and simple, but at the same time profound. Small because as a work of art, it is quite small. The Mona Lisa is bigger than that. Simple, because it depicts the simple story that we are all very familiar with. Would you agree with that? We're all very familiar with the story. Profound, because it's a reminder of the enormity of what took place around 2,000 years ago when our Creator became a member of the human race. And through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, God was pleased for him to make peace by sacrificing his blood on the cross so that all beings in heaven and on earth would be brought back to God. Advent is that season of the church which reminds me of the small, the simple, and yet profound event that we will focus on between now and Christmas. We need reminding, and it's a good thing to be reminded. Now, in Cafe Church, as I said, it's going to be a bit messy, but that's okay. It's going to be a bit of moving around, as I'm doing now. For those online, I'll just say goodbye for now. But what I'd encourage you to do, if you feel comfortable, and I'd like to think you would all feel comfortable, is at any time during the morning to go over to that little icon and just ponder it for a moment. And I think that can be an active participation in our Advent journey and our journey towards Christmas. Okay, these lovely ladies have been practicing hard. I'm pretending to be a director. And you'll get to join in. You'll get the idea. Wendy's going to jump up and down and wave at you and say, join in, join in. When she does that, please join in. Rob, can you see my plectrum on the other music stand? It's a green one with a hole in it. No? It should be there. It might be buried under something. Don't worry, I'll survive without it.
Has anybody got a spare bread tag?
See, things happen, but that's okay. Okay, we ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. And this one we all join in together from the beginning. Love. Thank you, Lord, for all that we have because of you. For the praise that can flow out of our lives. But Lord, as we journey, make this Advent journey again this year, may we be reminded of who we are in you and because of you and you in us. For the hope, for the joy despite the circumstances, for the forgiveness, for the wholeness, the completeness, for all of life. And so we commit our Advent journey to you. Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning again. Just a few notices. Firstly, I'll start with this one. This afternoon at 2 o'clock here at the Vines, Varel is having some of her piano students play in what's been described as a pleasant Sunday afternoon. So if you're free and would like to hear these young people strut their stuff on the piano, and they are worth listening to, I can assure you. Then come along. Entry is a cash payment, whatever size you liked that to be. I mean, it could be a $100 note. start high. or pantry items, because the proceeds of the afternoon are going to the pantry. That's that one. You will find... I'll come back to that one in a minute. You will have read, I hope, in the grapevine that Pam Norton's funeral is this Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the Florey Chapel at Centennial Park. You might like to be there for those of you who knew Pam really well and wish to support John at this time. On the tables, there are some little doves. They are take-homes. You can take one home if you would like to. They've been put together by Varel and Rochelle, who is the grandmother... Rochelle's grandmother comes to Creative Connection. Rochelle is in year 12, and she loves coming here for Creative Connection too. So that artwork is their artwork. And the little message on the dove with the heart says, "Let our hopes shape our future." So please take one home, stick it on the fridge or somewhere where you can see it and be reminded of the dove that is the Holy Spirit.
You could actually, if you had a walker that was totally covered with tinsel and things like that. I don't know who would have one, but if you had a walker that's totally covered with tinsel, you could even put it on the walker somewhere. You know?
Could, yes. Yes. That's a great idea. I like your thinking. We have, of course, our congregational meeting after the service today. We'll get that underway as soon as we can. But once the service is finished, if you want to grab your third or fourth cup of coffee, that's okay. And as people are doing during the service, if you want to refill your cup, please feel free to do that. This is a cafe, and you move around in cafes. And I think... just one more. Speaking of creative connection, this coming Thursday, they're having a display of the items that they have had fun creating during the year. And if you want to come along and have a look at that, all of those, that is between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And that will do for notices. If I missed anything out... Oh, yes, one more important notice that I do want to mention. As you'll be aware, the Joint Nominating Committee met earlier this week, just passed, with a prospective candidate for ministry. This is a process. One meeting is not enough. And I don't mean that because of just the one meeting we've had with this person. It's the way it works. There are subsequent meetings that will take place. We had a positive feel with this person, but we've got to take a further journey and a further conversation, which will take place between Christmas Day, sometime between Christmas Day and New Year. Before the year is over. So please keep Wendy, Marge and me, Simon and Kay in your prayers for that process as we try to figure out what God wants for us. Thank you. Okay. I found my plectrum, by the way. You'll never guess where it was. It was in the pocket of my jacket, which I had on for the practices. We're going to... No, we're not. Marge and Jackie and Wendy, I believe, are joining us.
In any small village, news travels quickly. Therefore, it is only to be expected that the strange changes in the lives of Mary and Elizabeth might have been food for other people's thought.
Well, ladies, you know, I'm not one to gossip. But wait till I tell you this. You know that old woman, Elizabeth?
They say she's had a wee baby boy.
At her age? She's slightly... She's 88 if she's a day.
Well, that's what I heard, and I heard it on very good authority.
Are you sure you've got the right woman? You're not mixing her up with her cousin.
Who, Mary?
That's her. Now, I'm not one to talk about anybody, but wait till I tell you this. She's pregnant.
Never. How do you know?
You can tell. You can just tell.
Oh, aye. You can tell all right. I heard her in the draper's last week. She was asking for a dress. 6 sizes too big for her.
There you are. Draw your own conclusions. Now, I know this will not go any further, but I did tell that she and a certain young man are about to leave the district.
Who's that young man then?
The joiner's boy, Joseph.
Never.
Well, that's what they say, and I'm not one for gossip.
So, have you heard what they're saying about this so-called census?
No, tell us.
Well, I just happened to hear that the reasons the Romans want our names is not to send us birthday cards.
Well, why are they having a census?
To register us for a poll tax.
No, I heard it was a community charge.
A rose by any other name.
They wouldn't do that, would they?
Well, I'm just warning you. Mind, I'm not one for gossip.
Nor me.
Nor me.
Thanks for the cuppa, ladies.
Now, I'm not one for gossip. But it was remiss of me earlier. Would you please give our 6 chorister ladies a bit of a clap for their input? Thank you. We are going to bring our offerings now, as we usually do. During Advent, we sing a lot of songs that are rightly filled with expectation. We're going to sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." And it's a reminder to us of Jesus coming. But it is also, we're not singing about something and saying, "Come," unless we need to say, "Well, come to me, Lord, because I need you." Because his presence is an ever-present reality in our lives. But as I said earlier, we need to be reminded of such things because we forget. So let's sing together, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Thank you. thank you. Thank you for the words we've just expressed of you, born your people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. The simple image in Ted's carving and yet so profound, with such an equally profound effect on our lives, because you were born to reign in us forever. Thank you for all that you've given us, Lord, and in this moment we give back to you ourselves and our offerings that Peter and Cheryl are holding, and commit our way to you in every aspect. Help us to use all that we have with wisdom and always looking to you for how we should do that. Amen. Please take your seats. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said,
"Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her,
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever."
Mary asked the angel,
"How will this be, since I'm a virgin?"
The angel answered,
"The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child of her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is to be in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
Mary answered,
"I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled."
Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her."
The word of the Lord. That is a reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 45. Thank you to Chris, Irene and Elaine. Now, I'm not one to gossip. But I think that's a story worth gossiping. And Marge is going to talk to us some more about that.
I don't know about the gossiping.
It did. Thank you, David. Thank you, everybody who has contributed this morning. And I didn't get to say hello to any of you because I was running around like a mad thing. So I say good morning to everybody now. This is not so much a sermon. It's rather a reflection on a little four-letter word. I do hope you have recovered from the busyness of the last few weeks as we prepared for the Christmas market. Many times in the weeks leading up to last Saturday, I found myself thinking,
Hope it doesn't rain. I hope we have enough donations for the stalls. I hope we get lots of customers. As you know, in spite of the rain, everything came together and it was a great success. And thank you to everybody who contributed to that in any way. The word hope is used frequently in our daily contact with people. I wonder whether, if you stop to think how many times you have used that word in a day, you would know that it is quite a lot. The word hope is used frequently in our daily contact with people. Usually it communicates not much more than a wish or a desire or a longing. So then, what is hope? Hope is not a desire, not a wish, far more than just longing or perceived want or even need. If it were only these things and nothing more, Scripture would not command us to hope, but it does. Words of a very old hymn came to mind in the sleepless hour that goes when you have to prepare anything to speak. And it puts it this way: my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. A faith in God makes it possible to possess and maintain real, I say it again, real hope. How's this for a definition? A strong and confident expectation, an unwavering trust in the unchanging character of God. It's two, it's us and it's God. What if we allowed this understanding of hope to renew and shape and reshape our lives? Well, the season of Advent provides an opportunity to move from hopeless living to hope-filled living, as we are reminded again of the promises of God. The Old Testament tells us how God's people waited, longed for, and hoped for the coming of the Messiah. We all know that waiting is not easy, is it? As human beings, we want things to happen now or even yesterday for today. Much patience is required, but God works in mysterious ways to bring about his will, ways far beyond our human understanding. Consider this. A young girl, maybe no more than 13 or 14, a devout Jew, she knew the teachings and she knew the promises of God. She had often heard that one day the longed-for Messiah would come. She was betrothed to be married, and that was a considerable period of time before the actual marriage for in those days. Her life was laid out before her according to the custom of the time. But it was totally tipped upside down when a messenger from God disrupted her life. Bringing greetings from God, he told her that she had found favour with God and she had been chosen to bring his son, Jesus, into the world. Wow, that must have been a rather frightening encounter. The scripture tells us she was troubled. I think I would have been a much more than troubled. But when Gabriel delivered that message, do you remember what her reply was immediately? I am the Lord's servant. May your word in me be fulfilled. She knew that from the time the news got around that she was pregnant and not married, she would be defamed and she would become an outcast and of no consequence in the community. And what did she do? She broke into song, and that's the beautiful Magnificat that's in the scriptures. What an unshakable faith in God that she could take that message on board and sing to his glory. Gabriel was in fact saying to Mary, from now on, your world is going to be disrupted, and your friendships and every inch of your world is going to change. But you, Mary, you are the one who is going to do this. His name will be Jesus, and one day he will sit on the throne of God and rule forever. And Mary bravely got on with her life. Could not have been comfortable or easy in those days leading up to Jesus' birth. But she got on with it, strengthened by her faith in a never-changing God who would see her through even the most difficult of days. What then is hope? Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes. With respect to events and circumstances in one's own life or the world at large, an optimistic state of mind based on expectation. That is what real hope is. I read this story recently in a book I was glancing through to find illustrations for today. And this is how it goes. My friend is married to an adventurer. That's not my friend. He is passionate about all things outdoor and doesn't hesitate to embrace the unknown. My friend is far more comfortable in the hustle and bustle of the city. Recently, she agreed or was coerced into going with her husband on a leisurely winter hike. She was not sure about the wisdom of doing so, but she did her best to swallow her fear, follow the leader, and hope for the best. Eventually, after many days of hiking, they found their way blocked by a large, muddy lake. For her, clearly that was God telling them that the adventure is over and she could turn around and go back. She turned around to go back, but her partner had no such idea and pushed them forward, determined to finish the hike. She recalls it was only minutes before they began to sink into the mud. They had reached the centre of the lake and there was no turning back now. It became harder and harder to walk, and their shoes grew heavy with mud. So they took their shoes and socks off. I thought that was very brave in a muddy lake, actually. Anyway, they took their shoes and socks off and they marched through the mud, hoping to make it to the other side. She said, all I could do was to hope we would make it out of there alive. I don't think she enjoyed her hike. And of course they did make it out of there. But she went on to say that as she looked back later on that experience, she realised that she had a very inaccurate definition of the word hope. It was a desire to get out of there, but had no real certainty of fulfilment. Real hope is a strong and confident expectation, an unwavering trust in the unchanging character of God. God's promises provide the anchor for our lives, especially during those stormy and challenging times. In Hebrews 6, verse 19, we read, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. In life, we will all face trials, but God's promises remain steadfast. His word does not change. He promises to be with us, to strengthen us, and to never leave us." When we trust his promises, we are anchored no matter what might happen around us, and we find the strength and courage to carry on. This hope is not just wishful thinking. It is a firm, secure foundation based on God's unchanging nature. God remains the same, even when everything around us doesn't, when everything around us is chaos. God is steady, even when we are shifting. I did think about that in terms of a new house, but anyway. God is faithful, even when we are faithless. And it is because God's love does not change that we can have that unwavering trust in him, because our hope is resting in something secure, and we can be confident that God will never desert us. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. As we prepare our hearts for Advent, remember this: hope tethers us to an unwavering God. Hope secures us to God, who is not moved by the things that move around us. Hope anchors us to steady and solid ground. Hope fixes our gaze on Jesus instead of our circumstances. Hope reminds us of who Jesus is, the long-awaited Messiah, the suffering servant who left glory to become like us, to show us the way to live productively, to live, work, and play with real hope. May that be your experience through this season of Advent. May hope be strengthened in you and you find peace. And then I just have to say that in the sleepless hour of this morning, another old song hymn came to me, and it goes this way: "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." Amen.
I'm going to take a few moments and pray just now. If you'd like to join with me in prayer. One of the things I love about the Christmas story is Mary's yes to God. Be it unto me according to your will. And that's a response of hope. I can do nothing less. But hold on to a hope that is grounded not in my circumstances, not in who I am, not in who I think I am, but grounded in God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world, across our nation, here at the Vines. May we all around the globe and here be the people of hope that we are destined to be. Lord, here at the Vines, we give you thanks for all that you are doing in our midst. and for all the ministries that we engage in. We pray, Lord, for your continued wisdom and guidance as we look to you to provide a new minister for us. Help us, Lord, to be patient while we wait, but help us to be proactive in continuing the ministry that so clearly continues here. We pray for the world itself, Lord. We don't have to look too far to find places where hope seems to be in short supply. In all places, Lord, where conflicts prevail, may your hope prevail in an even greater way. And may your peace come, Lord, to these troubled places. Lord, we pray this morning for those we know who are in difficulty of any kind, trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, grief. If you've got someone on your mind, you might like to mention them now, either silently or out loud. To all who suffer, Lord, grant courage, healing, a steadfast trust in your love, and surround them, especially at this time, with your hope. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, power, glory of yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing. I know the configuration of the tables makes it a little bit difficult to stand because we block people's view and all that sort of thing, but feel free, if you're able to and would like to stand as we sing these last songs.
His name is all. of worship, your greatness we proclaim. We stand as one in giving you all glory and acclaim. To you our hearts are open, to you our hands we raise. Come take the place of honor in our lives. Emmanuel, our God is with us. Prince of Peace, Mighty One, the ever-living God. Emmanuel, our God is with us. Prince of Peace, Mighty One, the ever-living God.
See the praises of our Savior rise to open skies. With the dawning of redemption, your glory will arise. For you alone are worthy, here in Zion you are praised. Our Lord and King forever, you will reign. Emmanuel, our God is with us. Prince of Peace, Mighty One, the ever-living God. Emmanuel, our God is with us. Prince of Peace, Mighty One, the ever-living God. Emmanuel, our God is with us. Prince of Peace, Mighty One, the ever-living God.
May the God of hope and love and joy and peace fill each of us, particularly at this time of year, with hope. Hope that is founded in God, hope that is founded in yes, our yes, as Mary did. Amen. Now, we're having a meeting which will start at what time? No, it's about 1:45. Yep, yep. Grab a cup of coffee and come back and we'll have a meeting.
Emmanuel.